Thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Last one up, right?
Yep.
Habitat by Design.
Mr. Keller.
February 20th, Mr. Keller. So again, if Mr. Keller has said something and you agree with it, don't mention it. It'll become a condition if there's an approval. If Mr. Keller has said something and you don't agree with it, then you got to mention it if you don't want it to become a condition if there's an approval.
Yeah, I
know some of the things.
It's not a disagreement. It's just pointing out the fact that the environmental impact, the requirement for the environmental impact statement for this facility has been waived. So there's no reason why Mr. Keller would know about that. He didn't see the completeness review letter. So that's the reason why there isn't an EIS. Obviously, when the facility was built by Hunterton Medical Center, there was an extensive environmental impact statement.
You've got to go. You're trailing at the end tonight. You said, obviously, when there was an approval.
When there was an approval for Hunterton Medical Center, there was a fairly long public hearing process and an extensive application, which included a detailed environmental impact statement.
So Mr. Keller, I'll say, if they skip an item and you want to say something, then by all means, you say something too.
Well, I think the first three items on the list are largely comments. And other than the response that Ms. Hirsch has already offered, I'm not sure that they require additional comment. They're just comments about the fact that you're creating a six-acre solar panel field, and as indicated by Mr. Hoffman, there's 2+ acres of woody material out there that's going to be lost. And then my comments 4, 5, and 6 are how I would suggest that we can take some action to mitigate for the loss of that habitat.
So let's go to items 4, 5, and 6. And you heard the agreement, at least between the applicant and Mr. Bosenberg, that any of them apply to your comments, and to the extent they don't apply to your comments, can you tell the applicant and the board what you would be looking for?
I think as I indicated in, particularly in item 5 and 6, I would suggest that there be some forest restoration. There are going to be some larger trees taken down, and you can't immediately replace a 10-inch caliper tree. But by doing forest restoration with a range of smaller caliper trees in combination with shrubs and a native seed mix, you can create an early successional forest and give it a jump start, as opposed to
this would be part of the reforestation plan you're suggesting?
Yes. And in looking at the site plan and in discussing it with Ms. Hirsch and Mr. Hoffman just before we got started, I believe that there's open area available above the existing tree line on the northeast corner and across the northern side of the array, and even continuing further to the west on the north side of the property to do forest restoration. And that would, we're going to be losing some buffer on the south branch of the Raritan with the installation of this array. And as I indicated in this report and in the report on willows at Annandale, corridor is associated with total biodiversity. The narrower.
Say that again?
Riparian.
No. What kind of wood?
Corridor. Riparian corridor width.
Corridor.
Corridor width.
Okay.
How wide is
we got it.
The native vegetation on.
Something different.
Yeah. How wide is the vegetated area on either side of a stream? In this case, all of this area is currently undeveloped and represents a portion of that corridor along the south branch. So that's being lost, and my proposal is that we restore some of that and widen the buffer in other sections of the property where there's an opportunity to do that. It's somewhat akin to the state's treatment of transition area wetlands. If you take away some transition area here, you place it over here in another area and widen the transition area, and that's essentially what I'm suggesting we can do here.
Okay. What's the applicant's response to that suggestion?
It's a very good idea.
Just like I asked Mr. Bosenberg, Mr. Bosenberg, please report to Mr. Keller. If there's going to be an approval, I need this language incorporated into your condition language.
Right. I would. We can certainly work out the wording on this. I would point out to the board that at the moment we don't know exactly how much we can do, because I haven't delimited this area, and I don't believe the applicant has either. So we don't know exactly how much reforestation we can do, but I'm estimating that it's in the neighborhood of an acre plus. So we're losing 2 acres of woods, and we'll get some back.
And this is part of the tree replacement plan. This is not...
I would say it's integrated with the tree replacement plan.
So the tree replacement would be done in this area, but appropriate to reestablish the buffer. So the plannings would be the same as required by the township ordinance, or perhaps something different?
I think we're talking about some similar things, but there's going to be some additional things that Jeff is recommending.
That's how I'm hearing it.
Yeah, that's really going to be in addition to the reforestation, because the reforestation is going to be if Mr. Hoffman tells me there's 10 trees at 10 inches in caliper, it's a pretty simple formula to replace those trees. I think what Dr. Keller's looking for is a more of a biodiverse replacement of the edges and doing a bit of revegetating.
Right. Rather than just replacing trees, we're replacing a plant community, which in this case is an old field condition that you would find 25 years or so after farmland abandonment.
So this, what I had in my notes, one little sentence, which you guys, I need you to expand. What I'm hearing is that the condition is forest restoration to be done in addition to, but in conjunction with, the restoration plan. Is that what you're both saying?
That's what we're saying.
Okay, and the applicant agrees with that?
Yes, we do, as long as we have some help in establishing that plan. I think we would need Mr. Keller's.
Absolutely.
I have a specification that we can use for that.
Yeah, and I've offered to work with Mr. Hoffman to help him with the counts and getting the appropriate species so we could put this together as a combined effort for him.
Very good. Thank you.
Dr. Keller, what is the impact of this on the riparian corridor? Because it looks like this is coming right up to the edge of that corridor, looking at the schematics there.
Yes, it is. As I said, I think the impact is the reduction in the overall width of the corridor. Larger species tend to have larger territories. And the optimal, I don't want to get too pedantic here, but the optimal territory shape for animals is a circle, because it's the most energetically efficient, since we're talking about energy tonight. So what the largest diameter circle that fits within a corridor is a good measure of what the largest territory could be, and that you can use that looking at the sizes of animals, birds, mammals, whatever it might be, and known home range sizes to figure out what might be there. So in this case, we're squeezing down the corridor a little bit here. But the hope is that by reforesting the areas to the north, we're expanding that wooded portion to gain some of that back. This project doesn't encroach in wetlands, and it doesn't encroach into any buffers. And it doesn't encroach into the 150-foot stream buffer. So it's not requiring any permits in that sense. This is just good ecological practice to try and recover some of what we're losing.
Okay. Just to move on to our last area of discussion, could you go through, Mr. Hoffman, the design requirements for ground-mounted solar energy systems? Sorry.
Can you take the table, Mike, and move it towards closer?
I just put my head down, that's all. Can you go through the design requirements in the Clinton Township ordinance for ground-mounted solar energy fields?
Sure.
And indicate on each standard whether the design in the site plan conforms with the requirement.
So the Township Ordinance 165-110B1C3 has components A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And I'm going to read each one of those in reply. Systems shall not be counted in calculation of... Systems shall not be counted in the calculation of maximum impervious coverage as regulated within land development ordinance. Nevertheless, design of the system shall comply with all stormwater grading and soil disturbance regulations of...
Slow it down. Put the microphone closer to your mouth.
Shall comply?
Nevertheless, design of the system shall comply with all stormwater grading and soil disturbance regulations of land development ordinance. We comply. We are to have no proposed impervious with our application. B, systems shall not be constructed in uninterrupted structures, shall be arranged so that no single contiguous panel area exceeds 400 square feet. This is the variance, so we do not comply with this. C, systems shall conform to the setback requirements for accessory structures in side or rear yards and shall not be located within front yards. We comply with all of this. D, systems shall not exceed 10 feet in height unless erected above a parking lot, in which instance the system shall not exceed 18 feet in height. We comply with this. We are 4.5 feet high. E, system shall be located and installed so that the sun glare is directed away from an adjoining property or public rights of way. We comply with this. We are pointing south away from the neighboring residential. F, systems shall be screened from public rights of way and adjacent properties via fencing or landscaping. We have proposed landscaping and a fence. We comply. G, systems shall be designed to blend the system into the existing setting and environment. I believe we have done that. We may have even heard some commentary from Mr. Bosenberg that he agreed with that. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the lay of the land is such that I believe we comply with this comment as well.
So now you're going to have him address B, correct?
Yes. Yes. Mr. Hoffman, you heard Mr. Brown's discussion of the needs of the Hunterton Wellness Center and the design of this solar array system, correct?
Yes.
Is there, given the existing development on the site and the various easements, the access easement, the stream corridor, the detention basin, parking, everything that currently exists on the site, is there any way that this solar field could be moved or, let's say, broken up into increments more than it already is broken up?
Before you answer that, the board had one prior variance, C variance application on this. This was before Tom's time. And the board in that case said even if you broke it up by a couple inches,
mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about a lot of feet. So when you answer the question, explain how many could you separate them by any amount of inches to comply with the ordinance?
I'm going to answer your question with a question. So,
in other words, what's your understanding of the requirement that says no single contiguous panel area shall exceed 400 square feet. What do you think that means?
Well, that's a great question, because I would think the intent of it is the entire array, but I'm being told completely different, that it is panels contiguous, are panels touching one another.
Because if it was the entire array,
it was 6 acres.
It would defeat the very purpose of
Absolutely.
The ordinance, because the ordinance says in C1, ground-mounted solar energy systems containing 400 square feet or less of total solar panel surface are permitted in all zones. They should require a zoning permit. Then when you go down to C3, it says ground-mounted solar energy systems containing greater than 400 square feet require minor site plan approval.
Right.
So that, you're here for minor site plan approval because the total panel area is greater than 400 square feet.
Correct.
But so then you go to 3B, and it says no single contiguous panel area shall exceed 400 square feet.
It's that.
Well, what the board, I don't know if it was the planning board or the board of adjustment who had this application in front of them. I think it was the planning board, and I'm just remembering it now as I'm sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not testifying, but whatever that, I believe the resolution says something to the effect that the purpose in having that requirement was, even though these things are not supposed to count towards impervious coverage, which they don't, it was to, so when the rain came off them, it wouldn't come in a huge sheet flow, that it would be broken up every 400 square feet and, you know, basically let the water come through. That's my understanding.
Okay.
So if you want to take a recess to see if you can actually comply with this requirement before you want...
Variance. Huh? Then we wouldn't need the variance.
Right. You wouldn't need the variance if you can figure out if you can comply with it. But before I do that, I want to make sure that our planning expert who's hearing this for the first time...
Yeah. Well, let me ask a few questions. If you had to separate the panels or the modules even by a few inches, would they require additional posts and thereby additional disturbance in the ground? Okay.
I'm suggesting you take a 5-minute recess.
Well, can I ask one question before we do? Is that, what is that dimension?
An inch. I believe that that's what the prior approval said, a minimum of an inch separation between them.
What? Between 400.
Right.
What is the current surface area of a contiguous row right now? Just one row, the whole... Do you have,
I have to punch it.
But it is more than 400 right now for a single row.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Much more than 400.
Okay. Yeah.
A couple thousand.
Yeah. I mean, just the guesstimate is a couple thousand feet in each row.
Yeah. So, in essence, every calculated out 400 square feet, we put an inch, and then we can discuss that. Thank you.
The other question, just makes me think. If an inch separation is going to do something, then there's an assumption, has to be an assumption, that there's a gutter at the bottom of these things.
No.
It just dumps it on the ground.
Inch is inconsequential.
Dumping it on the ground, but instead of, the theory was, now look, whenever this happened, I said to the board, if you don't like this requirement, then make a suggestion to change it. But nothing happened. It didn't get changed. So the requirement's here. What I believe the resolution said, the thinking was, instead of having a concentrated flow coming off the lip of, however many thousand square feet and coming down into the ground and making a rut, even though by the MLUL, these cannot count as impervious coverage. But the impact on the ground, that's why if you had little inch separations, it wouldn't be as bad an impact. I'm not defending it.
All I'm not trying to say is, from a practical perspective, if these were panels of glass, absolutely flat, you'd have sheet flow coming off in a uniform way. Mm-hmm. The only way an inch separation at the bottom makes any difference at all in this regard.
At the bottom.
An inch separation side to side.
Right, side to
as
side.
As the water flows down, if there's a gutter there,
right.
Having an inch separation would help distribute the flow instead of having it all run down to the end of a very long row. But if these are basically flat panels with no gutter at the bottom, that separation's irrelevant from a water and erosion perspective.
There's no gutters on these, correct?
I kind of agree with John that I can't imagine that's what the ordinance was intended to do, just because the water will go down to the bottom. It's not like it's spreading out uniformly across the whole surface. But I also can't come up with an aesthetics reason either, because it's not like, a break makes it take more surface area.
Take a five-minute recess. Maybe you come back and say, you know what, it makes sense to have a C2 variance to have this, and you'll explain why. And then if they don't like the requirement, I'm going to say the same thing to them I said a couple of years ago, that, make a proposal to change it.
Yeah.
But right now we have this requirement, so... Can you have them... Do you want to take a five-minute recess to figure out
what
you want to
do
with it?
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. We come back at 8:30.
I understand.
Okay.
We're back on the record.
It's 8:31. We're back on the record. Continue if you had.
Hey, did you come up with something on the break?
Well, yeah, and you reminded me also that we haven't asked the board to qualify Mr. Hoffman, even though they have all his credentials as a professional engineer.
We accept him as a professional.
Thank you, Ms. Martini.
All right, Mr. Hoffman, we were talking about the existing separation between panels, whether it would be possible to provide what the board in the past has described as necessary to be non-contiguous, that is, an inch separation for every 400 square feet. Can you respond to whether that is possible without limiting so much of the field that it's no longer really efficient for the purpose of intent?
So I guess the answer is no. As per our discussions here, it is not feasible to separate the panels by the 1 inch without a custom scenario. And in doing that makes it almost impossible.
So if you were to provide the one-inch separation, that would necessarily lead to a redesign and elimination of...
You start losing large number of panels, and in the discussions, by losing large number of panels, we then lose power generated from the site. Losing power generated from the site doesn't meet the needs of the hospital. Not meeting the needs of the hospital negates the entire project. So obviously... the need for the variance to get the number of panels we have proposed here. We've already agreed to take a 10-foot swath out of the middle, which separates it. I think this is as much as we could possibly do with meeting the requirements of what the hospital's looking for.
10-foot, right?
Yes, correct.
Can I ask a stupid question? Is there a reason that none of these are being proposed on the roof?
Mm-hmm. We did discuss that. We did propose that with the hospital. The hospital had some issues with their roof and therefore declined our proposal to put them on the metal seam roof on the building.
And just remember, you're a planning board. This is a permitted accessory use, ground mounted. They comply with everything other than the not more than 400 foot contiguous.
Okay. I think we've covered everything that we need through Mr. Hoffman, so the board doesn't have any questions.
So you are asking for a variance?
Yes, we will have to ask for a variance.
And I take it, it's what you said in the introduction, it's a C2 variance on the basis that even though it sounds like hardship, you're going to lose too many panels, so you wouldn't meet the power need. That's the reason by not meeting the power need. It's the promoting the purposes of zoning in 2N would be defeated, so it is a C2 variance, correct?
It's a C2, and I guess I looked at it also as a C1 because the existing, the building, the parking, all the easements and everything else on the property, the field itself can't be expanded to provide the non-contiguous gaps. There's no place to expand the field into.
And I think I heard testimony that you've addressed safety and access issues, and you're also mitigating any environmental impacts with new planting in terms of addressing the detriments.
Yes. Thank you.
So if we have no more comments, maybe the thing to do is when you, instead of just doing questions first and then comments, maybe you combine and have the audience, the public, ask questions and make comments at the same time. But that's up to the board.
One question for 400 square feet is you asking for a variance to go above that. What's the limit? What is the above that? Are you 800 square feet?
Oh, no, they're at thousands of square feet.
Correct. But what? How many thousands?
That would take me a little bit to do the numbers. Because basically what you're doing is taking each individual row, if we're calling that contiguous. So a row from one end to the other is the number you're looking for. Each row, 350 feet, because it was about 700 linear feet, it was the longest row on the site. Cutting that in half, because we had agreed with the fire marshal to cut the site in half for access. It's 70 inches tall by 350 feet, for sake of argument. So if somebody could punch the number on that, you'll know how many square feet you would have to take.
24,500.
Approximately 24,500 square feet contiguous.
That was 70 inches by...
Oh, 70 inches.
Inches.
Did you say 70 feet?
Yeah, 70.
I got 2,000 square feet.
That sounds
2,041 square feet.
2,041 square feet.
Now, that would be each individual row block, to be clear. So each row... Yes.
2,041 square feet contiguous in each row. And how many rows do you have?
I don't know that. I'd have to count them.
And they all vary in...
Exactly.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah, but it is, for purposes of this ordinance provision, it's a contiguous row.
Right. And I think the gist of your question is what's the level that we're not meeting the...
Are we approving a little bit, or are we approving a lot? We're approving a lot.
Quite a bit, yes.
Okay, does anybody on the board have any questions? Any of the experts? Okay, anybody in the public have any questions?
Do you want to do questions and then comments, or do you want to do questions and comments for each person? I think it might be faster if you do questions and comments for each member of the public.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Lori Knighting, Chair of the Clinton Township Environmental Commission. Guys are removing 2.5 acres of vegetation and mature trees. That's my understanding. Maybe it's not on.
Tap it?
Yeah, it's not on.
No. It was on at one point. The battery dead.
Before.
Can you bring it
light
over?
On the bottom? Yep, it is. It says
I don't know who's in charge of the microphone, but this microphone, but seriously, this has been nothing but a problem for months. Maybe if someone hears me, they can do something about that.
I'll just come over here. Where did
you... That's good.
Yeah.
Where did you start over?
Okay. Yeah. Lori Knighting, G-N-E-I-D-I-N-G, Chair of the Clinton Township Environmental Commission. So it's my understanding that 2+ acres of vegetation and mature trees are going to be removed either in a forested area and in a riparian zone.
Is that correct, is the question?
Is that correct?
No, we're not in the riparian zone at all.
Okay, still, it's 2+ acres of scrubby and trees being removed.
Correct.
Okay. And underneath the solar panels, there's going to be what you called... low-growth grass.
It's the specification set by the state.
Okay, that's fine. However, now you have all of this surface area and draining onto this land that has virtually no vegetation at all, and certainly not the root system that a mature forested area would have. So how much of that runoff now is going to go into the stream and or the detention pond?
None of this is designed to go to the detention facility.
Okay.
And as per the state requirements, we do not have to meet stormwater management with this facility. There is no impervious proposal.
Okay. I'm saying for the stream, that are you going to have an increase in runoff that would affect the water quality?
Per the state, there's no increase in runoff because this is not a considered impervious.
When you say per the state, provision in the MLUL that says that? You happen to know which one that is?
I do not, no.
I will find it. Keep on going, Ms. Knighting. I'm gonna try to find what he's talking about.
I know our own ordinance says that it's not counted towards impervious.
That's right.
Right.
I'm not considering it as impervious, but I am considering that it's going to increase water flow into the stream because of the loss of vegetation. I understand it's not impervious, but it's still going to increase the surface water flow.
Right, so the question is this. Can the board legitimately do anything about that?
Right. And can it be mitigated in some way?
I think we have, in my opinion, with what we're doing with the replantings and the, forgive me for the technical term, reforestation.
Okay. Then this is the first time I've seen this, so that's why I'm asking questions. Which way does the water flow? Toward, down, away from the stream?
The highest point within the array is right here.
Okay.
So technically it flows 360 degrees from this point.
Okay. So it would be flowing toward your green area there, which is the buffer area.
Some will go this way,
right.
Some will go this way, some will go this way. Now, right here. Okay.
My concern is, will there be an increase in runoff and or erosion from the loss of vegetation? And you're saying no.
I do not feel there will be, no.
If I could just add, the removal of the shrub and tree area and replacement with this array and the runoff that will be coming from the array, I will defer to the engineers, but areas that are grassed don't have the same absorptive capacity or ability to slow runoff that a forested area does or a heavily wooded area does. So I would suggest that, yes, there's going to be additional runoff. The good news is that there's still a fairly extensive buffer that's left between the edge of what's to be constructed and the south branch. Will there be a measurable increase in either runoff or... for example, suspended solids. I can't answer that question. You still have a wooded buffer along the stream that will help to filter whatever's running off in a south easterly direction toward the river.
The MLUL provision is 40:55D-38.1. And it says an ordinance requiring approval by the planning board of either subdivisions or site plans or both shall not include solar panels in any calculation of impervious surface or impervious coverage. Now, it doesn't say anything about runoff, but the issue that I have is it's a permitted accessory use. Unless there's some ordinance provision that's not complied with, put the variance aside for a second. Unless there's an ordinance provision that's not complied with, the board has no discretion. You have to grant it. Now, the ordinance provisions, which your landscape expert and your environmental expert have noted, the applicant, through conditions, has now agreed to comply with them. They weren't all complied with before, but with the conditions, they will be complied with. So are either of you aware of any ordinance or other requirement regarding stormwater that will not be met by the application? Because if there's nothing that will not be complied with, then I believe that Ms. Knighting, I mean, look, I'm an attorney. I'm certainly not an environmental expert. She sounds like she's right to me, but what I'm saying in this case, okay, she's right. But you can't do anything about it, because if you do, if someone appealed you, and this is very bad for me to say on the record, so if this did happen and it did get denied and it was appealed, you get another attorney to defend you on that appeal, is all I'm going to say. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there anybody else in the public that has any questions or comments?
If you come up and use this table mic, this is working out best.
My name is Patricia Buriak. That's B-U-R-I-A-K.
Can you give us, spell that last name again?
B-U-R-I-A-K. And my first name was Patricia.
Okay, is this a comment or a question?
It's a comment that's going to lead to a question.
Okay, you know what? Let's take this form. Just make it. Raise your right hand. You swear any testimony that you will give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God.
Yes.
And your address?
39 Riverbend Road.
Okay.
In Clinton.
Go for it.
Okay, if you look at the site plan, you see that I think it was originally 22 acres to begin with, and you've got Hunter and Healthcare, and you've got that takes up several acres, and you've got the parking lots, which take up several acres. So you had this nice field of 6 acres, and it's been that way for a number of years. So you had a lot of animals that lived there. It was no boundary between it and the nature preserve, so there was a lot of wildlife there. And by putting in your solar array and putting that 6-foot-tall fence around, you've really kind of blocked off a lot of the natural throughway, passageway for the animals. I understand that you did not do a study of the animals that lived there. I mean, it's close to the river. And I want to know why that wasn't done, because I think it's important that you look at the entire picture. And by chopping off these six-plus acres, I think you may have a significant impact on the wildlife that lives there. So the question is, I want to know why you decided not to do a wildlife impact, and I'd like to request that you do one.
Well, my answer would be that this is an existing developed site. At the time that the Hunterton Wellness Center was approved to be located there, the environmental impact statement was done. That was a number of years ago. Now the site has been substantially disturbed in order to put the wellness center, the parking, all of the detention basin, all the improvements that are on the site in place. As you have mentioned, there is a substantial natural area along the river that is being left in place, preserved by a conservation easement, and we thought it was reasonable to put in the solar facility, which is really just a replacement for the existing dirty and energy use that's on the current site, without trying to do a full analysis of everything that is left after the substantial development site. So we didn't see any reason to do an environmental impact statement, and we asked for a waiver, and that waiver was granted.
Well,
I don't know what else to say except to just add this to you. You know, the more requirements that you heap on top of these net energy solar facilities, the less likely it is that you're going to have them. You know, we now have some type of a tax that has been put in place on these panels that are coming in from overseas.
Yeah, they didn't put the tax on.
Yep. No, they didn't put They didn't put the tax on. But
no, I mean, these guys didn't put.
No. Obviously not. I'm just making the point that, you know, at some point you just load up something like this that has an obvious benefit, and you just load it up with requirements and regulations and costs, and you're just not going to see this occurring anymore. This was a particularly great opportunity for a site that already existed, already developed, and, you know, my client, they're trying to make this work, and they're going to have a substantial cost involved with tree replacement and buffering. They are going to do that. They did not want to have the extensive costs of preparing an environmental impact statement.
Okay, and my comment to the council is that once you destroy the habitat, once you build this, it is gone. And if you look along the south branch of the Raritan, you have this proposal, you have that hotel going on right up right adjacent to Route 31. And again, once you destroy these environments, you can't get them back.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public that has another comment or question?
Yes. Okay. Can you come up here? Speak up. Can you state your name?
Kenneth Oldham.
Can you spell the last name?
O-L-D-A-M.
Okay. And your address?
81 Gray Rock Road.
Okay, can you raise your right hand?
I can.
You swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you guys?
I do.
Okay, you're on.
Okay. The total square footage, I think we were talking about that before. Did we ever come up with a number? The total square footage of the arrays?
Inside the...
Yes.
It was a little over 6 acres inside the fence.
Okay. So this strip of 10 foot that's going right down the middle is about what much? How much of a percentage of that amount?
Again, I'd have to do the numbers. So 10 feet wide by approximately 600 feet long. You do the calculation, I could...
Okay. Because the reason I'm bringing it up is that if you could afford to lose that strip and still maintain enough power to the wellness center, is there any more area that you could possibly cut back?
No.
So, we found room to take away this strip. So, I mean, you already reduced it. You're sure there's no more that can be reduced?
Yes, there's a chance. At this point,
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public?
Going once, going twice, gone. You want to close the public hearing?
Okay. We'll close the public hearing at 8:52.
Deliberation time. Who's going first?
I'll go first. I think this is a good use. I think, as Ms. Hirsch stated, we need to encourage the use of solar panels and solar energy. This is a permitted use by the township ordinance and by the municipal land use law. Even if we had reason to deny it, we really can't deny it because it's permitted use. So I support this application, and I would vote for it.
Okay, what about the variance, the one variance for the not more than 400 square feet contiguous?
I have no issues with that.
I think the C1 grounds for the variance make sense, as does just the... I think that the C1 grounds for the variance makes a lot of sense. They're completely constrained, so it's the kind of like the definition of a C1 variance. The C2 justification makes sense as well. And beyond that, as we've mentioned a few times now, as a permitted use, it doesn't really matter what our preferences are. It's a permitted use, so I have no issue.
I agree with Sam. Everything he said.
Anybody else?
I'm agreeing with Sam and everybody else, yeah.
Same here.
Well, it seems like we're caught in a little bit of a predicament. I know looking at this, I hear some of the comments environmentally, and I have the same concerns. And looking at the runoff, it looks like there are going to be ruts. There's going to be erosion. There's no question on that whatsoever. Also, I'm not sure if the applicant's aware, but that's also a hunting zone. People hunt deer there. So you're going to be restricting the movement of wildlife and their natural habitats there, the deer and others. And I'm wondering, probably a concern for you and your maintenance is if rifle shots, they don't always hit, and they may be stopped by your panels and that. But it does seem to be, it is something that's good to do. A concern I don't think has to do any bearing with the council is why this is put on the ground and not on the roof, which I perch comments or covering the parking lot, prefer to have seen something like that. But it is a permitted use in here. I wouldn't mind seeing that the applicant putting in their fence had a way for animals to be able to get underneath the fence and move back and forth, but I don't think that could be a required use.
Let me just ask you, what do you plan on having the bottom of the fence touch the ground? Because I mean, again, I'm not testifying, but I've done a whole bunch of solar applications over the course of the last 10 years, actually maybe 7 years. And what's your detail show? Because I know in other municipalities, these solar companies sometimes voluntarily agree to move the bottom of the fence 6 inches above the ground to let animals pass through.
Why is the fence needed?
Safety. You know, you don't want too much height. Kids to go underneath, get in there with, it is electricity, so not, it's fairly safe unless they're in there really, you know, pulling on the wire.
It is an area of 5 blocks.
Wait, but listen, let's get, so 6 inches is okay? Okay, so you'd agree to a condition to raise the bottom of the fence 6 inches above the level of the ground, correct? So all you got to do is ask sometimes.
That's good.
And the maximum height of the fence would still remain 6 feet, or would that increase?
Well, I would go to this.
Just asking.
Because I think to get a custom fence, you know, it's standard height.
What's the...
Six, that's why I'm asking. I don't know.
What is the height limitation? Let's say, just in case the height limitation is 6 feet, why don't you apply for a C2 variance to increase the height limitation of the fence from 6 feet to 66 inches so that you can accommodate raising the fence, which has been requested to save animal, potentially save animal life.
C1.
To enhance wildlife migration.
Very good. To the extent that variance is necessary, we would like to apply for it.
Okay. C2 fence height variance. And just, I looked at your notice before the hearing, and you do have catch-all language. In my opinion, your notice would, in fact, cover a variance such as this. Who's next?
And just the justification we're using for that is what, C2 for environment?
Yeah, for
C2E.
Wildlife migration.
To enhance wildlife migration.
Animal hardship variance.
Most of them.
to enhance wildlife
movement.
Seriously. Who's next?
I think everybody has spoken.
Can't hear you.
I think everybody has spoken.
Well, then in that case, does someone want to make a motion to grant the minor site plan approval plus the C1 variance for the 400-square-foot contiguous and the C2 variance for the 6'6" fence height?
So moved.
I'll second.
Can you just bear with me 1 second? Okay, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilda?
Yes.
Ms. Flanahan?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Scheid?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, could you call the next application, please?
Are you doing it for snow?
No, just
coming up.
Okay.
Keep the phone.
Okay, the next application is a continuation of the Beaverbrook Urban Renewal Associates, LLC, Willows at Annandale Village, Block 60.03, Lot 26.
Someone just went out in the hall to get them, but I can steal their thunder by saying that that applicant is requesting to come off the agenda tonight and be continued until the board's regularly scheduled March 5 meeting, and it's for two reasons, and the applicant's attorney can correct me if I'm wrong, but the first reason is they finally came to an agreement today on this revised plan that was supposed to be submitted by today, which it was submitted by today, but it was submitted near the end of the day. And even though I have spoken with the board experts and they've at least verbally said that they're satisfied with it, especially for purposes of members of the public, I think it would be much better form to have that in writing from the board experts, and this will allow them sufficient time to get that in writing. That's number one. Number two, this will also allow the plan to be on file for a longer time, so people from the public aren't going to be faced with seeing it for the first time tonight. And finally, this will also allow one board member who has not had the chance to listen to a recording or read the transcript to do that, and it will also allow the fact that the chairman is not here tonight, so he will not have to read a transcript or listen to a tape of tonight if it's put off. So, again, am I correct in that?
You are correct in that.
And can you just enter your appearance for the record?
I can. Are you able to hear me? I'm Kate Coffey from Day Pitney, and I represent the applicant, Beaverbrook Associates.
Okay, so again, so the Beaverbrook Willows at Annandale application is now continued to the board's regular March 5 meeting, which starts at 7 p.m. There'll be, again, no need for further notice. And just for the record, there's no other applications scheduled that night. This was an add-on because this was a special meeting for that solar application that everyone just witnessed. On March 5, Willows at Annandale will be the whole show. There might be some resolutions to adopt, but they'll be the only application on.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. That's it.
Thank you.
You have other things?
There's reports. Does anyone have any reports from?
Do you want to report out on council?
First of all, you've got to go loud.
Yeah.
You might want to wait till the people leave the room.
Yeah.
Why not?
John, did you get the language you need for those conditions? That's fine. I just wanted to make sure because you said you wanted it now. So.
I asked.
It makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. Council was a pretty light agenda with one exception. We approved a modification to our fair share housing settlement in which we removed Windy Acres from that settlement. That was an 89-unit, 100% affordable project that relied on water from Clinton Town and sewage from RLSA, a.k.a. Reddington Lebanon Borough. And we've substituted a new project. We're calling it, I guess, the LACOM project or CIS project at this point in time. It's on the form of what we used to call the church property. It's a 40-acre parcel on the other side of Route 31 from the Marukian project. And CIS, a nonprofit developer from southern Jersey, has entered into an agreement with Mr. LeCompte, who owns that property, to develop 89 units on approximately 10 acres. The in this case, the sewage and the water would come from our normal resources. And that removes a, you know, a potential conflict with Reddington, who have will have probably very substantial housing obligations. And it also, because CIS is agreeing to develop a 100% affordable project, but they're assuming the financial risk for the project, it removes a significant financial risk from our township
in that we're no longer depending upon getting 9% tax credit financing, and we can rely on the more as of right 4% tax credit financing. So it's a good thing, I think, for our neighbors. It's a good thing for us, and I was glad we were able to pull it together. We couldn't include this in our original settlement because we didn't have a proposition at that point in time. And in the intervening time frame, we went through several iterations with the property owner on Route 31, and we finally came to a satisfactory conclusion for everybody concerned. So it's really, really a good change in our plan. Mr. Drill, any?
I have nothing to add. Absolutely correct in all respects.
Okay. Anything then from next ordinance subcommittee?
We didn't meet last month, but we are planning to meet at the March 5th meeting at 6 p.m. and we will discuss the solar panel ordinance revisions, hopefully, and a couple of other matters. So we will be meeting before the March 5th planning board meeting.
Correct. Okay. Open space. Anybody go to that? Was
open
there?
Space was meeting tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah. So couldn't do that. The I would say, however, that we're told, and I've heard this before, so that the HER check, approximately $630,000, was actually mailed from the good folks down in Trenton. So we're anxiously awaiting its arrival. So we'll bring that particular.
They said the check's in the mail, and you believe them?
I qualified it, didn't I? I've heard it before
from
all kinds of people. But we are getting a $240,000 grant. That's new news for the second phase of the Stanton Mountain Road rebuilding project. A miracle. 2 years in a row for $240,000 a pop, which is really nice. Yeah.
So the numbers came out?
Well, I think the mayor must have a friend at the governor's office.
I've been waiting for that.
Let's put it this way. Janice Kovach knows. This nice woman called Janice and said, you know, we've got a grant for you. And Janice said, for the township or the town. And the nice lady said, is there a difference?
Did she take the money?
Well, she had to give him the address. I told the tale. I forgot her name now, but I was in a meeting with the finance committee at church. I was kind of in a – I couldn't really chat with her very long, but apparently that letter is in the mail very shortly.
It hasn't been announced publicly yet because I've been checking her website also.
Well, you know, she claimed to be from the governor's office, so maybe they're trying to gin up some goodwill by making these personal phone calls. Her next call was Califon, and she didn't have a phone number or name, so I couldn't help her on that.
And the next one was to Mr. Mardini.
Yes.
She also offered to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, right?
God, come on now. We better get that money.
Yeah, I usually do find out early, but the person who was in the middle of this process is no longer there, so I'm not able to find as early as Mr. Higgins did.
I think your name is Petra.
Okay. But it will come out.
Okay, the last Environmental Commission report.
Well, Kevin's not here, so we wouldn't have one.
Okay. So then, do we have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much. No, it's 26.